Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go in our Bible to Psalm 75. Glory to God. Now, we started, a series last Sunday morning called Overcoming Selfishness. Now, not that we need it, but we're just taking some preventative medicine. How about that? How about we probably all really need to hear this? So, I'm going to do, at the direction of the Lord, I'm going to do different teachings on this on Sunday morning over the next few weeks. It'd be four, maybe five in all. Could grow, could get bigger. I don't know, It just depends on how bad we need it, I guess. But this morning, this is Overcoming Selfishness 2, but I'm giving all these messages a title, all right? So not just Overcoming Selfishness 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm giving them a title because God, we're going in a specific direction with each message, and I want to set your mind and your heart that direction. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about how promotion comes. How promotion comes. Now, let's go to Psalm 75, and I want to read a couple of verses. Psalm 75, verse 6, the Bible says, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." You notice it doesn't mention the north. Now the reason is because when you study the Bible, you'll find out that God's habitation is on the north. And then the scripture went on to say in the next verse, it says promotion doesn't come, in verse 7, from the east, from the west, or from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Promotion comes from the Lord. Amen? Now, this is a revelation to some people, but God wants you promoted. I say God wants you promoted. He doesn't want you to promote yourself. Amen. He doesn't mind you being promoted, but the Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." The thing about God, he'll promote you when you can handle it. Amen. Now, I always want people to come to our church. I always want you financially blessed. But I don't want you so blessed it ruined you. And that'll be up to you, right? I mean, how much can you handle? You know what I'm saying? See, I did a study years ago and a teaching on the fact that we're adopted. The Bible talks about adoption. You may have read that in Ephesians, how we're adopted. Well, I had some things that I had to think through. I had to think through, how could we be born of God, sons of God, but yet be adopted at the same time? And after some study and reading and things, I discovered that, that term where the Bible used the term adoption, it really meant that when you grow to a certain point, you receive your sonship. I didn't realize this was a Eastern custom that, you were born a son, absolutely. You were born with the nature and the attributes of your parents and all. But as you grew and you matured, then you received the adoption of what was called sonhood, which meant you were now in a position where you could receive the inheritance. How many know a prodigal son wasn't ready for his inheritance, was he? No. Father, give me that which comes to me. He went and squandered it and wasted it all. Thank God for a merciful father, And I began to see this, and I looked at the word son and I found out, there's two different Greek words for sons. One meant, you're a son because you were born of someone, you were their son. And then there was another word for son that meant you were a mature son because you acted like your father. And I began to look, and I looked at the times where the Bible calls Jesus the Son of God, and it always used that Greek word that meant he's a son because he acts like his father. In other words, he grew to maturity. Amen? Remember what Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, and a son is given." He was born a child, but in that at the River Jordan, we hear this voice coming from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And that word son means mature son. He acts like me. I'm well pleased in him. And I thought, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. It's no different today in life. You're born. You're just as much part of the family when you're born as you are when you're 21. But there's some things we can't trust you with until you get 21. And maybe not even then. Amen. It depends on the maturity level. Amen. Why don't we let, kids just do what they want to do? Because we're trying to protect them from themselves. Amen. Every now and then, I'll watch a boxing match. Phyllis says it won't be in heaven. But it's here now. And I'll watch it, and every now and then I'll see this where the corner has to save the fighter from himself. What do I mean by that? Well, he's just going to keep fighting, but he's getting beat bad. He's really getting beat, but he's not going to quit. And the corner realizes he's not going to quit. We got to save him. Well, listen, I believe that God wants us to have the fullness of everything He paid for us to have. Amen? But here's the situation. We have to grow into it. Amen? We have to grow up. Amen? God wants to promote us. How many know that? But we got to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. Amen? All right. Now, let's go. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 because I want to show you some things here. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go there. Philippians the second chapter. And we will read, we're going to read several verses here. Philippians chapter 2. I want to talk to you about how promotion comes. How do I get promoted in God? Whatever that might look like in your life. It looked different in everybody's life. You know, you might be in the natural promotion and job or whatever that God has for you. In me, I'm in the ministry. Well, how does promotion come? Well, let's read some things here. In Philippians chapter 2, go there, verse 3. Got it? It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Amen. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, how many know that? That is something that we have to work on. Are you with me this morning? That's not our modern day culture. Our modern day culture is, what can you do for me? You remember I told you, I think it was, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or it was Sunday, last Sunday morning. I talked about years ago when I was young, we had a president. And one of the things he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Amen. His name was John F. Kennedy. Now, I thought about that. I thought, today what politicians say is, don't ask what you can do for your country. Ask what your country can do for you. Now, what he said resonated with the American public. They thought this man was wonderful. I'm not here to say yay or nay one way or the other. I'm just telling you the facts. They thought he was wonderful. Today, the American public would laugh at him. Not all of us. Some of us are still grown up. Amen. Some of us are still grown up and found out you have to work for a living. You shouldn't depend on anybody to take care of you. I'm not saying you can't have help when you need help, but I'm talking about an attitude. How many are following me? I'm talking about an attitude here. So what's happened? Well, the attitude is, what can you give me? Amen? that's crept into our society, and we got to watch it. It doesn't creep into the church. That's why you have preachers like me all over the place, pastors like me. They'll get up and challenge you about these things. Because we see it's out there in the world. We don't want it in our church. It's not supposed to be in God's people. God's a giver. God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't ask for anything. He gave. And I'm going to tell you something about God. He is so good. The tithe, which is 10%. Did you know that the tithe actually isn't even yours? According to the Bible, the Lord said the tithe is holy. It's mine. Isn't that what the Bible said? And that's good New Testament and Old Testament. Don't give me this law stuff. That the tithe was long before the law. Amen. So people need to rightly divide the word. I know people talk about in Corinthians, say, well, it says, let a man give as he purposes in his heart. That's not talking about tithing. That's talking about giving an offering to the poor saints at Jerusalem. You got to read it like it's written. Amen. But here's my point. I'm not here to preach on tithing. But my point is this. Even when God asks us to tithe, which is simply give Him back what already belongs to Him, it's His to start with. So you're not really doing anything big. Really? I mean, if Dustin takes my billfold, it's not a big thing for me to ask for it back. Like he found it. That's not a big thing. I mean, if my billfold was laying, I ain't going to get it out. But if my billfold was laying on the floor and Dustin found it, you know, how many know that's the right thing to do is give it back to the rightful owner, everything that's still in it. And so, but here's the thing about God. When you give Him that which already belongs to Him, He blesses you for doing it. And then He spends it on you. God's not sitting on these comfortable chairs. He's not enjoying our whatever's on this morning, heat or air conditioning. Amen. He's not coming in underneath the roof to get down to the roof. That's all spent on us. God is the absolute example of unselfishness. Hallelujah. That's why we got to keep it out of the church. It's in the society like, you owe me this, you owe me, you know. Listen, I may make some of you mad. I don't care. Just get over yourself. Pull your thumb out and quit sucking it. Now, nobody owes you a college education. Nobody owes you health care. Nobody owes you paying off your student loan. Hallelujah. I know this is taking a broad swipe against our society. Nobody owes you a thing. Now, if they want to help you, that's different. But nobody owes you a thing. I heard one preacher say one time, he said, I expect nothing from nobody and thankful for everything I get. Hallelujah. That's the attitude we got to have. Are you with me now? Yeah, I want to know why. Some guy working out in the factory has to pay to send your kid to college. Amen. I don't get that one. And I hope most Americans wake up and don't get it either. It's nothing but selfishness. And we're teaching people to be selfish. No responsibility. You don't have to do anything yourself. We'll give it all to you. You know how weak that makes you? I'm going to show you if we have time. Probably won't today, but we'll get there. Amen. Now let's look at this, all right? That was just from those two verses. We got more to read, all right? Come on, you got your coat of armor on this morning? Now, verse 5, look what it says. See, well, let's read it again, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means we're supposed to be looking out for others first before we look out for ourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, the King James says, to be equal with God, which is a good translation of that. That word robbery there means plunder. It means, in other words, Jesus didn't think that he was robbing God by being equal with God. How many know he was God? Right? He is God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, notice this. What did he do? He put others first, didn't he? Yes. Remember, remember at Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. Yeah. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you his flesh didn't want to go through with that. But he was committed. Amen. Now, notice this. He put others first. I don't think sometimes we grasp the depth of this. The man that, remember, Pilate said, ask him a question, and Jesus didn't answer him. And Pilate said to him, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus said, you don't have any power at all over me unless it was given you from above. What did he mean? You couldn't touch me unless God allowed this. I'm going through this for a purpose. Amen. I'm going through this to redeem all humanity. And if it wasn't for that, you couldn't lay a hand on me. Because you're looking at the man that made the stars above you at night. You're looking at the man that made the sun that shines on you during the daytime. You're looking at the man that made the ground you're standing on. And if you think you could do anything to me without God saying okay, you got another thing coming. And the Bible said from that point on, Pilate sought to release him. He thought, I'm going to let this man go. Even his wife came down and said, let that man go. I had a dream because of him last night. Woo, hallelujah. But what I want you to see is that I saw, it's been a long time since I read it, but I saw where scientists found this star. I don't know how they found it, but it was like 800, I think they said quadrillion miles away. I don't know. I know it's farther than Kentucky. I know that. All right. I know it's farther than California. All right. That's a long ways off. But I thought to me, you know, that man that walked those dusty shores, that man that was persecuted, that man that they spit on, that man that they slapped, that man that they put the crown of thorns on, he made that star that far away. Now, that's how high he was. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, notice this, verse 9. Wherefore, how many know when you find a wherefore, you should find out what is wherefore? That's just a little play on words. We used to say that about therefore. Remember that? You find a therefore, find out what's therefore. Wherefore, because of this, that's what it's saying. Because of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every other name. Amen. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want you to notice it says, because he did what he did, God highly exalted him. God promoted him. Why? Because he put others first. He wasn't looking on his own things. Amen. I mean, no, Jesus didn't come here for himself. He came here for us. Right? He didn't come here to get authority over the devil for himself. He already had that. He did it for us. And because of that, God highly exalted him. Now see, I'm convinced, even in ministry, I've been in the ministry, this April will be 38 years. I'm convinced that even in the ministry, a lot of people don't get promoted, not because they're bad people. I'm convinced they don't get promoted because they don't realize it, but they're in it for himself. See, if the only purpose is for you to have another place to preach, for you to have a bigger ministry, God can't promote that. Your purpose has to be people. I want to help people. A pastor said one time he had a couple in his church, you know, he said, and they were training for the ministry. And so finally they the time came where they were ready. He released them. They went out and started a church, you know, in another town somewhere else. And he said after some time they came back and they had some fellowship time together. He said, well, how's it going? They said, well, you know, the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. He said, you wouldn't have a ministry if it weren't for people. The ministry is about people. Are you with me now? So say you can get, you say, well, I want my gift, I want my talent to be seen and be used. You know, you wouldn't say that bluntly, but that could be your motive, and God couldn't promote that. You're going to have a motive where I want to help people. Amen. Well, I mean, sometimes it's going to get dirty, it's going to get ugly, it's going to get nasty. Amen. Because people have problems. Amen. Are you with me now? Sheep bite sometimes. Amen. And you know, sometimes that, you know, they've been hurt and they bite back, you know. And so you know, it's about people. Amen. Are you with me now? Let's go. I tell you what, let's go over to 1 Kings. You don't mind if we look at a few scriptures this morning? Just want to show you some things out of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3, go there. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to read a few verses here too. 1 Kings chapter 3. And the Lord's kind of been dealing with me. Now, he's kind of dealt with me about that. Now, make sure you check your motive, son. Why do you want to do this in ministry? Why do you want to excel here? Why? You want to do it because it's more comfortable for you? You want to do it because, it may bring more blessing in your life? It may be more like what it may be something you want to do? Or do you want to do it because you want to help people? See, God can't exalt it if it's not about people. Amen? You know, I think the first thing is we want to obey God, right? That's number one. But in obeying God, what He's going to have you do is help people. Amen. And so we have to get our, listen now, we have to get our minds off ourselves and get our minds on other people. How many know you have to work on that? Remember we read the scripture last week, Paul said, I die daily. What was he saying to us? I have to deal with this every day. You know, your flesh is selfish. It isn't never satisfied. You got to make it behave. Remember, Paul said, I keep my body under, right? What do you mean by that? Well, listen, of course you get better at it. Don't misunderstand me. But it's still all your life, you're still going to be dealing with it. But you know, how many have lived with God long enough to find out about the time you think you got one thing settled, he'll bring up another thing? He'll give you a little reprieve for a little bit, you know, and you go around for a week or two thinking, woo, glory to God, I have arrived. And then God will say, well, I got something else I want to talk to you about. You know, I was just so dumb when I got saved, you know, I mean, I gave up Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, I thought, you know, I gave up Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know, and I gave up drugs and all, and I thought, boy, man, I have really committed to the Lord. And the Lord let me think that for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then he began dealing with me about what I called people, names I called people and stuff like that. And he began dealing with other things, you know. And, there for a while, I thought I was going to be one of those 24 elders, you know. The Bible talked about those 24 elders around the throne. I thought, man, I'm living so good, I'm going to be one of them. Well, that got shattered. Amen. I began to find out, you know, there was a lot more than just not drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know.
Come on.
Amen. Maybe yours was something else. But, you know, maybe you had a different bondage of your own, but that was one of mine. And so anyway, the thing of it was God didn't, he didn't show me everything once, but he began to show me and began to reveal to me. You know, in your flesh, it's rebellious. It doesn't always want to give up real easy. You just tell your body you're going to fast tomorrow and see what it starts doing. Just tell it that. I had a friend in the ministry. I don't know whether he's right or he's wrong, but it sounded pretty good to me. He said, you know, if I fast, I don't say anything about it. He said, because I can make it through most of the day before the devil figures out what I'm doing. Come on, how many ever fasted before? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many ever fasted before? And you remember Peter had that vision of filled with all kinds of animals? And the voice said, rise, kill, and eat. That's the kind of visions you have when you fast, right? Rise, kill, and eat. Well, let me say something to you. See, God wants us to get, he wants us to put others first. And that's not normal for our flesh. We have to work on. We have to die daily. Amen? Now, here in 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to read a few verses here, if that's okay. Let's go to verse 5. This is about Solomon. And he has just become king. So he's in new to this. And in 1 Kings 3, go to verse 5. It says, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and he said, ask what I shall give you. Now, wouldn't that be awesome if God did that for you? If you had a dream tonight, or the Lord literally appeared to you, and he said, ask, what can I give you? Anybody got a list of things that you could think of? Well, Father, I'll take a new home, and I've been wanting one of those new trucks. And how many know that would probably be one of the first things you think of, right? Ain't nobody going to answer. Most likely, we'd think. I didn't say it'd be the first thing you said. I said it might be the first thing you think of. What I could use. So God's come to this man. Now this is a wide open invitation, isn't it? You know, he could have said, you know, I want one of those new BMW chariots with turbo horses. I don't know. You know, he could ask for a lot of things. God said, give me. What God said, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon, verse 6 said, you've showed great unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. And you've kept for him this great kindness, and you've given to him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, Lord, oh my God, you've made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. And your servant is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude. And counted for multitude, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and that Solomon had asked this thing. This pleased God. See, Solomon could have asked for anything, but he wanted. God said so. Would God have been mad at him if he'd asked for something for himself? No. God said, you could ask whatever you want from me and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, here's what I want. I'm king and I'm leading your great people, and I want to be able to do that with skill. I want to be able to help your people. Are you with me now? And verse 7, and God said unto him, because you've asked this thing. Notice this. And you've not asked for yourself long life, neither ask riches for yourself, or notice this, nor ask for the life of your enemies. In other words, that I would take out your enemies. But you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I've done according to your words. Notice. Lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any arise like unto thee. And, everybody say and, I have also given you which you did not ask, both riches and honor, that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I'd say you got promoted, didn't you? Now, you read the Bible in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is. It talks about Solomon was so wealthy. Are y'all ready for this? I mean, he was wealthier than his dad, David. And his dad, when they built the temple, when they were getting ready to build the temple, getting supplies to build the temple, he gave what would amount to today's, I've got it in my Bible, another Bible, but it was checked by 1964 standards, because the Bible that I had, the notes go back that far. And they added up where the King James tells what he gave, David gave, and he gave somewhere around $100 billion to help build the temple. And he's the guy in Psalms that said, I'm poor and needy. I thought, help me be like that, Lord. Help me be that poor and needy. I'm saying that to you for this reason. Solomon had far more than David did. Matter of fact, when you read in Chronicles, it says all of his drinking vessels were pure gold. None of them were silver, because they counted silver as nothing. They wouldn't even mess with silver. You know, kind of like when you're in the parking lot at Walmart and you see a penny, Phyllis will pick them up. She's got a philosophy. That you pick up a penny, you might find 10 of them. You might, and that's a good philosophy. There's nothing wrong with that philosophy. I have another philosophy. It ain't worth a penny to bend over. I think hers is probably better than mine, but I'm just telling you mine. Now, I was walking in Sears one day, and there was a $20 bill laying there, you know, and I looked around, see if it belonged to anybody. I did bend over for that. I'll bend over for 20. It's like my pastor says, every time I bend over to tie my shoes, I always ask myself, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? Amen. But I want you to see something. Solomon was not selfish at this point in his life. Now go to Genesis. Come on, are you with me now? I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures this morning. But hey, you know the Bible won't hurt you. How many know that? Genesis 13. Genesis 13. So Solomon asked to help God's people instead of asking for himself. And what did he get? He got promoted. See, as a minister, I see this sometimes in ministry. People are just out for themselves, you know. Now, they don't mean it necessarily. Not all of them do. Some of them maybe, but not all of them do. But they don't realize they're just in the ministry just to grow the ministry for themselves. They're not there to help people. God can't promote that. Did you know there's two ways you can get promoted? You can promote yourself, or God can promote you. Now, when He promotes you, it's different. There's blessing with it. When you promote yourself, you can get destroyed. Amen. See. Now, let's go. One thing about God, when He promotes you, He'll grow you as He's bringing you up. He'll grow you up. Amen. Now, let's go here to Genesis. You getting anything today? Verse chapter 13. Let's go to verse 7. It says, there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we're brothers. In other words, Abraham was, he's trying to work peace here. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. If you'll depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Notice this, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as they come unto Zoar. Now, you know, it says this land was like the garden of the Lord. So you know it was lush, right? I mean, it was plush. So he chose this out. Now, verse 11, then Lot chose for himself. Notice that. Lot chose for himself. Lot was selfish. He picked out the best for himself. Well, that's been over big. He chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's a problem. I said, that's a problem. Well, let me say something to you. The Bible calls Lot a righteous man. He lived righteous. He knew right and wrong. But that didn't mean he wasn't a selfish man. You can be righteous, but still not be perfect in every area like Pastor Chuck and me. I've been wondering about Pastor Chuck lately, but anyway. How many know you can be righteous but not have everything together, right? I mean, he's a righteous man. But he chose for himself. Amen. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem I have with it. How did he even get here to start with? He left with Abraham. Who has God got a covenant with? Who is the elder in this? Who has the higher anointing in this? What should Lot have done? Abraham deferred. Lot should have deferred back. He should have said, ain't no way. You're the higher, you're my uncle. You're my elder. To start with, just in a natural, you're my elder. I'm going to give you the biggest piece of pie. Come on. And then you're the one that's got the covenant of God. I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be blessed if it wasn't for you. I left with you. I traveled in this land with you. Everything I have is because of you getting blessed. And it got over on me. Are you with me now? But he chose for himself, right? He chose for himself, right? Now, notice this, what God said to Abraham. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after the Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from this place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see to thee will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. What's he saying to Abraham? It doesn't matter what Lot chose. I'm giving it all to you anyway. Lot would have been better off just to said, look, hey, if there's strife between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, let's fire mine. Let's stay together. I'm blessed. Remember when Jacob went down to his relatives, Laban? He told, you know, Laban said, you know, you need to go. He said, or Jacob said, he said, I need to go. Laban said, man, I've discerned that I'm blessed because of you. Amen. Come on, are you with me now? Don't go anywhere. I'm blessed because of you. Yeah. Amen. Now, hold that thought. Go over to, this is our last scripture. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. This is our final scripture today. I hope you got something out of this. We're going to keep exhorting you. We got to overcome selfishness in our life. And it's the key to being promoted. In other words, sometimes we think, I just got to promote myself. I just got to push myself. Well, the Bible says that he that exalts himself shall be abased. But he that abases himself shall be exalted. So if you want to be exalted, why don't you push somebody else? You know what I mean by push? I mean try to help them get up to the top. If you look out for other people, the Bible says God will exalt you. Matter of fact, he highly exalted Jesus. How high did he exalt him? Above every principality, power, might, dominion, and name that is named. Not only in this world to come, but that which is also to come. He got exalted as high as anybody's ever going to get exalted. Amen? Are you with me now? And the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Yes. Hallelujah! So what does that mean? You know, we sometimes we think, you know, I got to fight for myself. I got to push my own self out there. Well, listen now, listen. You need to help promote other people and God will promote you. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Now, in Hebrews 11, let's go to verse 26. This is about Moses. I'm sorry, verse 24. Hebrews 11. Have you got it?
Got it.
All right. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you realize what that cost him? Do you realize that the lush life he just passed up? Pharaoh's king. Egypt's the richest nation on the earth. He just passed up a life of leisure, luxury, living in the king's palace, and possibly being the next Pharaoh. We don't know. But he passed up a lot. But notice why he did it. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What did he do? He chose to help God's people instead of pursue his own life. Amen. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures that are in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was a reward coming on the other side, but it was coming from God, not people. What did he know? You humble yourself, God will exalt you. Now, I want to close by this. I want us to just do a little bit of comparison here, all right? We read about two men, all right? Abraham and Moses, that both men chose to bless others before themselves. Now let's look at their lives. What happened to their lives? Well, both went on to greatness in God. Moses was so great that Charlton Heston played him. So they both excelled, didn't they? Right? Now Lot, a righteous man, chose for himself. Are you with me? What happened to Lot's life? Well, Lot ended up losing everything he had twice. One time, when he was in Sodom, five kings from other nations came and attacked Sodom and took the people and took everything. And if it hadn't been for Abraham, he wouldn't have made it out of that. Abraham armed his trained men and went after them and got them back. Then Lot lost everything he had again when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Did he not? He not only lost all of his physical possessions, but he lost his wife. He not only lost his wife, but he lost some of his daughters and sons-in-law. And he ended up with about one of the most dysfunctional families I have ever read about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? His own daughters slept with him. Got him drunk. He didn't know it. All right, let's just say that. He didn't know it. They got him drunk. But where did they learn that kind of perversion? Because he chose for himself the best. And he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. They saw the perversion there. They became used to it and didn't think anything about it. He lost his family. So here we have two guys that put others first. Just exactly what the Bible said. They got exalted. They got promoted. One guy put himself first. He lost everything. He was righteous. He's in heaven. But he sure lost a lot along the way. Are you with me this morning? Come on, tell me you got something out of that. So how does promotion come? Well, promotion comes when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we choose to promote others. Amen? Instead of ourselves. God's got a thing. If you'll take care of others, He'll take care of you. If you'll take care of His house, He'll take care of your house. Amen? Thank God. I hope you got something out of that. Wasn't too intense or too mean with you, but you know, we need sometimes a little stirring about to see where we're at. You know what I'm saying? To see where we're at as a nation, to see where we're at as a country, and make sure we don't allow that into our lives. It's not normal. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way the world lives, just because they say it's normal, doesn't make it normal. Just because it's accepted. Do you know marijuana is legal now in some states? Oh, don't get me off on that. All right, since you did, I'll talk about it. Now, there are some Christians that are so stupid to think, well, it's okay now that it's legal. So is abortion. But God hadn't changed His mind about murdering people. Now, where if we come as a nation, when we're having this argument, what do we do with them if they survive an abortion and are on the table alive? And we're even having a debate about that, whether we keep them alive or kill them? Don't bring Hitler up to me if you're going to do those kind of things. You're doing just what he did. Now, I know this isn't popular, and it may get me some hate mail through the podcast, but I don't care. What's the difference? A life's a life. So the thing about this, though, is people think, well, you know, I've heard even Christians, well, it's legal now, so we can, you know, it's legal to smoke marijuana now. Let me tell you something. The stupidest, how can we be so stupid? Don't tell me nothing about marijuana. I started smoking marijuana when I was 13 years old. I know what it did to me. It led me to harder drugs. It opened the door to all kinds of things. There's nothing good going to come out of that. But we live in a selfish society. Give me what my flesh wants. Please my flesh. Or I'm not voting for you. We got to change. One thing we got to do is make sure it doesn't get in the church. Are you with me now? And it's coming out. All right, this is it. Scott, if I go any further past this, shut the mic off. Yeah, my permission. I know he wouldn't do it, but he has my, this is it. We have even sunk so low in the church that now people send out surveys to find out what the people want in church. How long do you want the service? What do you want us to talk about? Do you want us to talk about tithing? Do you want us to talk about sin? What kind of music would you like? Did you know, I thought this was about God and about His kingdom. My pastor has a good saying. He says, we brought into this kingdom what we know, and it doesn't belong here. That's good preaching.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.